welcome to the AOL podcast. Let's dive right into this week's message.
I'm y'all thankful that he never leaves us, that he never forsakes us. Like there may have been times that you've left him, but aren't you thankful that we serve a God? I love the story of David. It says, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. I found him. Meaning this, there was times in David's life where he wasn't looking for God and he was running for his own life. But that whole time, God was running after David. I found David, the son of Jesse. Meaning this, Jesse made some mistakes. If you know the story of David, he's the bastard child. He's not even part of the clan. He had done some things that were wrong. And even through all of that, if you're in here this morning, you've done some things wrong. Maybe you're the one who's left. Maybe you left him, maybe you left her, maybe you walked out, maybe you weren't there for them when they needed you the most. Shame, guilt, condemnation's coming in like a flood. But I'm telling you, we're in a room today where the love of God is being expressed in this place. In God's presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And if you allow him to, come on, if you allow him to, he'll come in like a flood. I found Anson. Come on, I found Chris. I found Michelle. I found David, the son of Jesse. I'm not leaving. Come on, can we make a commitment to the Lord this morning? I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I want to read a text to you before we get into the word. And many of you might know it. It's found out of Genesis chapter 27. If you know the story of the two brothers, you have one named Jacob, one named Esau. Points out how hairy Esau is. The other one is not, but you know the story. Esau's off hunting. He's a man's man. Not to say that Jacob isn't, but Esau comes in from hunting. He said, I would rather die than live with the way I'm living. And his brother Jacob is cooking a bowl of beans, and he said, I'll tell you what. Jacob makes a deal with him. He manipulates him. He said, I'll sell you the birthright for a bowl of beans. So he said, here's a birthright. You can have this bowl of beans. And story goes on that there's a blessing. Even though that Esau had lost his birthright, he was going to still have, how many of y'all know there's power in words? There's power in a blessing that his dad's going to speak this blessing over him. Isaac is. He's going to speak this blessing over him. And Rachel, his mother, comes to him and says, hey, you have the, she doesn't put it like this, but basically you have the birthright, you should also have the blessing as well. So what she does is she goes and kills an animal, puts it on him. He was losing his vision at this time. He puts the carcass of this animal, like how hairy was Esau, right? Sasquatch. He puts this hide on him. He goes in and says, who are you? And he says, I'm Esau. He manipulates his daddy. So he's getting now this blessing. And so his dad, Isaac, he gives this blessing to him. The dew of heaven. I mean, it's a great, you can see it in chapter 27. Well, then Esau shows up to get his blessing. He went out to kill something, to bring a gift to his dad before he speaks his blessing over him. And you know the story. Jacob has already got it because he manipulated his dad. And he runs, obviously, for his life because he doesn't want his brother to show up. And it tells us in verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me as well, my father. And he said, your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. Then Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob, for he has betrayed me these two times? He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? But Isaac replied to Esau, behold, I have made him your master and have given to him all his relatives as servants. And with grain and new wine, I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me. Me as well, my father. So Esau raised his voice and wept. Then his father, Isaac, answered and said to him, behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. And by your sword you shall live and shall serve your brother. But it shall come about when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck. I want to read to you out of the New Living Testament, verse 40. And it says, you will live by your sword and you will serve your brother. But when you decide, there's going to be a valley of decision here this morning out of Joel chapter 2. When you decide, come on, church, when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck. I'm going to say it one more time, and then you can give God praise. But when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck. Now give God praise. Let's do it one more time. So God, I pray right now, whatever kind of yoke of unforgiveness, whatever kind of yoke of resentment, whatever yoke of anger, whatever yoke of unforgiveness that has tried to grip and cripple men and women of God inside of this room, maybe from something they were 8, maybe it was something when they were 18 or 28 or 38 or 40 or 50 or how old they were. Lord, I pray that there would be people today that would make a decision. I choose to decide to break free. I choose. So Spirit of the living God, do what only you can do today. Break off chains. Set people free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. God, we continue to pray once again. We pray for rain in this country. We speak a blessing, Lord, over our friends in Hutchinson County and those up in Canadian and Higgins and Lipscomb. Up in there, Lord, we just pray for them. We pray, God, the strength of God. Behold, I'll be with you wherever you go. So I pray strength in those communities. But Lord, we pray that you open up the windows of heaven and you pour out a blessing on them that they don't have room enough to receive. We pray that the former and the latter, they reign together. And so, Lord, we pray for the rain, physical, but Lord, also to spiritually rain on us today. In Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, on this Time Change Sunday, we thank you for caffeine. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you shake 3 people's hands? Tell them that you're glad they're in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen, 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 amen. You're not leaving. I've been to the bottom, I've been to the top. Good morning. Hey, well, who's happy to be in the house of the Lord today? I'm going to say it one more time. Y'all failed. Who's happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hey, I want to, you guys help me welcome Buck. Let's see. Pastor Buck. We got Jaden, Trey, Junior, and Ezra. Did I do good? They're all from Hillside Church. Make them feel welcome this morning. Not Hillside Church Amarillo, but Hillside all the way from Mont Belvieu, Texas, Pastor Mark and Dina, and they came and brought a trailer load of stuff to Hutchinson County. I mean, a trailer load of stuff. So they're being a miracle. Love you guys. Thankful, so thankful that you're in the house of the Lord with us. I don't have this table up here to drive some of you OCD people crazy. I have this up here for a reason. And how many of y'all like to sit at the dinner table? All right? I like what goes on at the dinner table, right? And I'm not talking about conversation. I'm talking about eating food. Pastor Brandy tells me all the time, I wish that you would look at me the way that you look at a banana split. Like it's never going to happen. I'm sorry. It's just never going to happen. But I love food. You know, the Bible says about Jesus that he is no respecter of persons. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is no respecter of persons? Or you aren't thankful? That's okay, I am. But I'm no respecter of foods. I like them all. I even like the vegetables. I like broccoli, y'all. I love it. I love all greens. I love it all. I'm not a big fan of the tomato, but if you put it on a hamburger, I'll eat it. I mean, I probably could get full on liver and onions. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for food. I love all. I gained weight in Africa until this lady came to me and said, "Hey, I hear in your culture y'all like tea," and that messed me up for a little bit. But I love sitting at the dinner table. I believe on the eighth day God created the roll from Texas Roadhouse. Can I get an amen? Right? I do. I love, but one thing that I love now, and I feel like we've gotten away from it as a culture, I love sitting at the dinner table. Like the other night, I was with all these guys and just getting to know them and sitting there. And sometimes I'm strategic. If I know I'm going to go out to eat with particular people, I have like three questions. It's one of the things that I've learned from leadership thing is three questions that will, and if they're good questions, you might be on the first question. Like when I interviewed the mayor in a podcast, I had one question and it took up all 45 minutes of our time because we just got to talking back and forth. And I love that. And I believe we as a society, we only get to do it probably two or three times a week where we as a family and let me tell you, our family, it's not perfect. There's times where I have to take one boy, sometimes two boys, whip them, come back. You know, strife happens at the dinner table. That's just, but how many of y'all know it's good for us as a society and as a people to just look other people in the eyes? How was your day? Like, I'm just asking, I'm trying to help some people out there. When people say, "How are your kids?" you answer, but then you ask the question back. I'm trying to help some of y'all right here. Like, they don't have a personality. No, you don't. All right. But I love sitting at the table. I love sitting at the table with people. But how many of y'all have ever been in a situation before where you invite somebody and it's something that you want to talk to them and they walk in with three other people? Right? They walk in with three other people and you're like, "I wanted to talk to you, but you brought these other three yahoos." Or these other two people, or even if it's just one other person. And that there might be one person in that party that they take over the whole conversation and all they talk about is themselves, and it makes it awkward sitting at the table. Y'all are looking at me like you're so spiritual. You know this happens to you, right? How many of y'all have ever been at a place before you invited somebody and they came in and they brought that guy? Or they brought that girl, all right? Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about, all right? And it's not that you're not walking in love, but it's like, man, I really wanted to just see that person. But when you get them, you get all their friends. And I was thinking about this yesterday, actually over the last week, about this particular topic, what I'm going to talk about today. I want to say that this table represents our heart. And the Bible tells us this in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." And what's so important is if you can change somebody's mind, but if you don't change their heart, their mind will talk them back into doing the thing that they've done forever. And this represents our heart right here, is what I'm talking about. And if we're not careful, the people that we invite or the things that we invite or the emotional attachments, or let's just say this, the number one thing that the enemy tries to attach to your heart is offense. And when we let offense come sit at the table of our heart, he doesn't come alone. He always comes with friends. And he comes with people that it's going to cost you more than paying for one person's meal. It's going to cost you four or five more people on the ticket. And it's not just going to affect you. It's going to affect every person in your dinner party. Because what happens is he doesn't come alone. He doesn't just invite himself. He invites more people. And this is what we do. We all allow some things relationally to sit at the table of our heart. And I believe one of the greatest enemies of that, and I've said this already, but to come sit at our heart, the table of our heart, to pull up a chair, is offense. And when he comes, he not only comes to infect, but he also brings people with him that will affect you everywhere. Not only you, but everyone else that you love that's sitting at the table. And there could be two different ways that you deal with this. Number one, are two things that I want to bring up this morning. How did we get here to invite offense to come sit at the table of our heart? I want to talk about that for a second. But number two, I want to talk about how can we ask it to leave the table and tell it it's not welcome back, right? So number one, I want to talk about how does it get here? How many of y'all, let's just go ahead and say this, and I'm going to put my hands down because when I put my hands up like this, Cody makes videos of me saying, a Mamma Mia pizzeria. What do I do with my hands? So number one, how does it get here? How do we invite offense, because we don't want it there, but it comes, to sit at the table of our heart? Well, number one, how many of y'all know we live in a society that is easily offended? Amen? How many of y'all know we live in a society that is just easily offended? There is people that just everything offends them. I mean, we live in such a woke world that everything wants to offend them. And if you're not careful and if your heart is not right, you could be driving down the road. Yesterday, I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We were playing at a tournament there, came home late last night, and I saw lots of these stickers that said Biden Harris. And there was something in me that wanted to run them off the road. I don't know what it was. I was like, Spirit of the Living God, come please take over. But if you're not careful, you will find things to be offended about. Can I get an amen? Like this morning, there is the first trans woman that's teeing off in a golf tournament. We heard it on the radio coming to church this morning. It's a man that dresses like a woman and is teeing off. That's, if I'm not careful, that would make me offended. Like, that's not right. It's not right. But because that's happening there doesn't mean that it has to make me be in a prison. That's right? And so, but what I'm getting at is this. If you're one of those people that you're offended at everything, I want to tell the people that work the booth back there that sells AOL stickers for your car, please don't give them one. Because you're offended at everything, you'll give the number one howdy doody sign to somebody who cuts you off in traffic. And the last thing we need is the AOL sticker on the back of it, all right? Here's another thing that brings offense to come sit at your heart is poor communication. You should say amen, but that's okay. Poor communication. How many of y'all know that brings offense? There's people that over-communicate. Yes, you told me that 964 times. There's people that under-communicate, right? And so poor communication can do that. Have you ever realized there's seven holes in your head? There's two ears. There's two holes in your nose. There's two eyeballs to see, but there's only one mouth. Thank God there's only one mouth. If you ask teenage girls, you ought to say, thank God there's only one mouth. All right? Sometimes you want to slap the one that's off of them, the only one that God. But this is what it says in Psalm 141, verse 3. It says, set a guard. Here's the TLB, not the Living Bible, but the Travis Lee Bennett version. Set a muzzle, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Here's another thing that brings offenses. Write this down. Despising differences in people. When we despise differences in people, you just need to know this. Not everybody was raised the way you were raised.
That's right.
Not everybody's going to dress the way that you dress. Not everybody's going to have a love for guns that you have. Right. Not everybody's, come on, whatever it is. Not everybody's going to root for your team. I don't understand it. I don't know how you were raised in San Jacinto and root for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That is not of God. Amen? Amen? Come on, if you're from Amarillo, you need to celebrate, you know, America's team. But now some of y'all are offended that I would even say that. This message is for you. Especially if you root for the Eagles or the Washington Redskins. Some of y'all got offended that I said Redskins. They are not the Commanders. If it says W, they are woke. Okay? Just saying that. All right. How many of y'all know we need to, in a relationship with a man and wife, you need to know that you're different. Yeah. And there's some people that you just need to know this. Brandy is completely different than me. She wasn't here in the first service and I picked on her. She's not now here in the second service, so I'm really going to pick on her. I think different than her. Can I get an amen from all the husbands out there? Amen. We see things totally different. I do not see it this way. And she sees it a totally different way. She'll call me and say, I think this is what this means. I think this is what this means. But rather than being something that pulls us apart, how about it be something that makes us stronger? Amen. Let's celebrate those differences that we have. What my weakness, she's strong in. What she's weak in, I'm strong in. So together, two are better than one. Amen. Come on, some marriages need to hear this morning, that rather than despising differences with one another, if you're not careful, differences on how you think, who you root for, the way you parent kids, what you do inside of your marriage, if you're not careful, you will judge other people, and what it's doing is bringing an offense to sit at the table of your heart. Here's another one. And unspoken expectations lead to preconceived resentments. Unspoken expectations lead to preconceived resentments. So, unmet expectations. Hopefully you have your kids in children's church this morning. But those of you that are married, you get what I'm saying. The men, there's times where you have expectations that are unmet. Like she had a headache the first night, the second night, the third night, fourth night, she was tired, and then she had a headache on the fifth night. And what happens is when you experience something different from what you expected, the gap in the middle is frustration and offense. I always think of the story. I love the story of John chapter 11 where Jesus or Martha and Mary, the Bible points out that he loved Martha and her sister and their brother Lazarus. If you've ever studied the scriptures, you know that they are close to them. They broke bread together. She's ministered there. This is where Martha gets mad at Mary because Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. The whole point is this, that they send message to Jesus as he's out ministering and says, hey, you need to come back to Bethany because my brother is sick to the point of death. You know what Jesus says? He said, all this won't end in death. You'll see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the story goes on. It says that he dies and he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus shows back up at Bethany. And the Bible says that the two sisters with other people go to look at the body of Lazarus. To just mourn over him or whatever. But not Martha. Martha goes straight to Jesus. And she's standing in the road, the Bible says. Do you think she was standing there with open arms? Heavens no. Where have you been? Have you not read? Have you not been on Facebook, Jesus? He was sick 4 days ago. Is your phone not working? Did your pager not go off? I know that was a long time ago. It was probably pagers during that time. Did your pager not go off? I know that you know that I know that you know that I know you know. I know it. I know that you know that he was sick. See, what happened was she expected Jesus to stop everything, but he didn't. The Bible says strategically he stayed there 3 days ministering before he came. Yeah. She expected him to drop everything and come this way, but she experienced something different. So when you experience something different than you expected, offense can come in like that and sit at the table of your heart. Y'all are looking at me like a cow looks at a new gate, but I'm telling you, is this not the truth? Am I not speaking the truth in love this morning? It's reality. That's exactly right. And so what we have to know is this, that it's going to come. There's going to be unexpected, unmet expectations. So that frustration comes in. With your job, your boss over your job, he knew this was important to you. Your wife, your spouse, your husband, he knew, she knew that this was something that was super important to me. And when it is not met, what happens is offense can come and sit at the table of your heart. Your friend knew better than that. You can. My whole point is this. You can live a life where you don't even have the opportunity. Where you say you don't have the opportunity to get offended. Like, I'm just going to be a hermit crab and I'm going to stay at the house. I'm going to order my food from Walmart.com. They're going to bring and put it on my porch. But if you're not careful, you will be offended on how they put it on the front porch of your house. How many of y'all know we all have an opportunity to get offended? Yes. You can't live a life where you don't have the opportunity to get offended. My whole point is this, and this is my message this morning. You can either take it or you can resist it. That's the title. Take it or resist it. You have a choice to make. When you decide to shake that yoke off of your neck, when you decide to break free, you can either take it or you can resist it. There's a decision moment in every single one of us. There's a decision moment that we have in a day, in a lifetime, all the time, on how you're going to respond. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, if you put it on the screen, in the New King James, it says this, "Then he said to the disciples," Jesus speaking, "it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." So the Greek word here, the best book on this particular topic is by John Bevere, and it's called The Bait of Satan. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. You say it's not for me, read it anyway. But in the book, he talks about the Greek word offend right here, or offenses, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, and it comes from the word scandalon. Everybody say scandalon. That's like scandalous, right? And it's originally referred to the part of the trap. It's not the trap itself. It's the bait that is put to trap some kind of animal to come. So they call that offense, whatever that bait is. And so my whole point is this. They may have been awful. They may have walked out on you. They may have said things that they know they shouldn't have said. They may have, and I know they were a person that you probably should have trusted. They're probably somebody, maybe an aunt, maybe an uncle. You don't realize what they did to me. You don't realize the effects that it did over me for the rest of my life. You don't understand the kind of pain that it's not only brought me, but all of my family. They may even be dead now. And I know it hurts, and I know it's painful. But can I tell you? Looking at this scripture and this text, all that's happening is this. He's baiting you. Yeah. I know it hurts, but he's baiting you. And offense doesn't come alone. Right. This is my whole thing. He baits you with a meal of offense, but offense doesn't come alone. What he does is he brings bitterness to come sit at the table. He brings unforgiveness to sit at the table. He brings resentment to sit at the table. He brings envy to sit at the table. He brings anger to sit at the table. And you thought you were just playing around with one, but he brought people. Now you have a ticket, and you're fit with a bill that's not only going to affect you, but it's going to affect the people that sits at your table with you that you love. Dad, you might be holding on to something that your dad said to you when you were 15 years old. Here's the thing. Just because you're in prison doesn't mean that your son has to be. Just because you're in prison doesn't mean that your wife has to be. But here's the deal. Misery enjoys company. And whether you know it or not, if offense is sitting at the table of your heart, he's invited all his best friends. And you might think, well, I'm okay. That's no problem to me. No, you're not. What'll happen is you'll start losing the people that were important to you. And if you really think about it, your issue with that one person is affecting everyone else in your life. So, Pastor, how do we deal with this? Well, you can just stay bitter. How does that work for you? It's not working at all. Or you can go halfway. You can say, you know what? I won't speak ill of them, but I won't forgive them. You know, I heard it at the beginning of the year. I'd never heard it this way. Maybe you have, but I want to go ahead and share this with you. Unforgiveness is rehearsing an offense over and over inside of your head, inside of your heart. You know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is when I choose to stop rehearsing it. And there's some people this morning, you need to make that decision. I'm going to break free from that yoke around my neck. I'm going to choose to stop rehearsing it. Forgiveness is not saying what they did was okay. Because how many of y'all know it probably wasn't? There's things that may have been completely over the line. And forgiveness is not saying what they did was okay, but what you are saying, I refuse to let a moment, a period, a place in my life, I refuse to let that place contaminate the rest of my life. I refuse to let that moment in time where I said something wrong, it even may even be unforgiveness with yourself, that you're offended at yourself of something that you did, you wish you wouldn't have done. Shame, guilt, condemnation, bitterness has came over you of something that you did do. But 99% of the time, it's nothing of what you did. It's what somebody else did, and now you're living in prison of something you didn't even do. You guys awake this morning? What they did, what I'm saying, when I walk in forgiveness, I'm doing this. What they did will not imprison me. Because the reality is this. Heard reality a while ago. Reality is this. The baggage that you're carrying, they forgot about a long time ago. Like it's not bothering them at all. They lay their head on their pillow and their sleep is sweet. Right? But what you're doing is putting yourself, you're the prisoner, not them. You put yourself in prison of something you didn't even do. And can I just be really honest with you this morning? Unforgiveness hinders you and God. I've heard many testimonies before of how people, how many of y'all believe the Lord is the healer? Amen. Amen. The Bible says one of his names is Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals. The Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and he healed us and delivered us from all destruction. It says in Psalm 103 and verse 3, he heals all diseases. How many of y'all know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? I believe he's the healer. I believe he's the healer. I believe he is healing. That's who he is. That's who he is. So the reason that I even tell you this, there's been people before where I knew the Lord was the healer. Pastor Ty can give you a great testimony of this, of somebody who's in the house that he would go to see, and he really believed that she would get healed from cancer. And finally he asked her one day, he said, do you have any unforgiveness in your heart? And right away she got madder than a junkyard dog. And he said, you need to forgive that person. She began to take steps of forgiveness, and she got healed of that cancer inside of her body. I want to prove this to you. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Actually, I want to read verse 22 because we're a faith church. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Actually, the Greek says, have the faith of God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Amen. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and it will be granted you. But then it says, so how many of y'all know this is a great promise for us? But this is what can hinder us. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. I'm going to read it one more time. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Amen. What you're doing, when you withhold forgiveness, God holds forgiveness that you need. Yeah. I know this is heavy and I know this is thick. But I believe some people this morning, if you make the decision to break that yoke off of your neck, you'll walk in freedom today. So here's four thoughts, four things. It's 11:40. I have 45 more minutes. I'm kidding. Number one is this. This is good. This is good. I hope you're leaning in right now. Number one. Here's number one thought. Try not reacting. When you see that post, come on, you know you want to say it. You know you want to be a keyboard warrior and be so tough on the other end of the line. We know you are. And that witty thing that you just came up with to send back. How many of y'all have ever been in those moments before where you type it out and the whole time the Holy Spirit's telling you, don't do it. You're acting just like them texting that. Right? You're acting just like them putting that out there. There's been times where I've actually even posted it before, and then I've had to go back and delete it. And hope to God nobody saw my moment of weakness of being a moron. You know what I'm talking about? We had a young marriage group with us a couple of weeks ago, and this was brought up. How about in an argument, or when we're sitting at the table, rather than letting offense come sit at our heart, this is what we're going to do. We're going to listen not to react, but we're going to listen to understand. Amen. Some of y'all are reading through a post looking for how could I react to this? How could I react to this? How could I react to this? Rather than listening with an understanding. Not everybody is in your shoes. There is people that's had a hard day before they even came here. Why don't we have a moment, rather than reacting, let's take the time just to listen. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be angry and do not sin. He said you could be angry. How many of y'all know sometimes anger leads you to doing the right thing? Like, I do not want this to happen ever again. You know what I did for my birthday? I went and bought tires for me and tires for Addison. You know why? Because I think back on a time when I was stuck on the side of the road because I was being a tightwad and running tires to where they were completely bald. I don't want to be like Discount Tire. You know when you have 4 inches of tread on there? Sir, these are out of date. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Lord have mercy. I can drive this truck for 60,000 more miles. Am I the only one they do that to? I guess they think I'm a dumb preacher when I walk in there. And so, I remember being so angry on the side of the road one day because I had a blowout. And the reason that I had a blowout wasn't because the devil was attacking me. I had a blowout because I was stupid and didn't get new tires. Rather than being a tightwad, I got so angry that day that I bought new tires and said, to heck with it. Now, what do I do? Before that moment comes, I get new tires. See, anger can lead you to making the right decision, to making a difference in your life. When Pastor Buck was here, he says, change happens when change happens. And sometimes anger in your life will get you to a place when you want to change some things, right? So be angry, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's okay to get upset. You know, one of the things that Pastor Brandy and I have done, 19 years, I've never slept on the couch. She's never slept on the couch because we make a decision, even in intense confrontation, that we are not going to let the sun go down mad at each other. Amen. We make that decision. But you know what I've learned to do? I'm going to try not to react. I say try because how many of y'all, I don't care how spiritual you are in here, everybody has a button. Everybody. I've ridden in the car with some of y'all. Y'all are so mad at other drivers. It's like y'all need to go to deliverance with Judy on Monday night. You know what I'm talking about? There is a button. You know, one of the things that I don't like it when people say something about me. But if I'm not careful, I will call that person out. And I'm really good with my words, like really good. You want to play that game? We can play that game. But them messing with my integrity, if I'm not careful, I'll play their game and I'll prove to them exactly how I'm acting.
Come on.
Everybody in here has a button. I don't care how spiritual you are. Don't let the enemy, what I'm saying is this, when that button is pushed, it's all right to be angry, but don't let sin get involved and let the enemy get a foothold where you were in a moment of weakness. Yeah. Right? So number one, try not to react. Number two, here's a good one. Let's start finding the good in people.
Amen.
Let's start finding good. I'm going to read you Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. If you're a new believer, you may not know this, but if you've been serving God any amount of time, you know it. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Can I just be honest with you? Some of you are treasure hunters for the negative. How many of y'all are sitting next to one right now? No, I'm kidding. Don't raise your hand. Some of y'all are treasure hunters for the negative. Stop. Just stop. Can we get back to Sunday school? If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. Some of y'all are like, Pastor, we've heard some of the things that you've said. See, I'm working on it. I did a podcast with my dad on Thursday. How many of y'all enjoyed the ministry of my dad on Thursday? Amen? But we did a podcast on Thursday together, and one of the things that I remember growing up, my dad was a children's pastor over here off of Avondale. Grew up in Victory Church, and we would go on Saturdays, and we would go knock on doors and invite kids to church through the bus ministry. And I remember even as a kid where these dads would answer the door, and they'd have a ring of paint all the way around their nose. They'd been huffing paint. And we'd say, hey, could we bring your little boy to Children's Church? And we'd show up on a bus on Sunday mornings. It was so much fun. We had two buses, and we'd bring them in. Children's Church would have like 150 kids on a Sunday morning. It was awesome, wasn't it, Margaret? It was amazing, amazing, amazing. But one of the things of a guy that's like a second dad to me, I call him my Mexican father, his name is Junior Castillo. And Junior, one of the things that I even remember when I was a little kid, he would find something. These kids would come in sometimes only wearing one shoe. They'd have holes in their shirts. They would stink like they hadn't bathed in days. And one of the things that Junior would do, he would always find something. Oh my gosh, I love your belt. That's the most amazing belt. Or I love your haircut. Or I love the color of your eyes. See, some of us are treasure hunters for the negative. Why don't we find the good in people and be treasure hunters for the positive? And not only do that, tell them. Amen. Come on. Amen. How about let's tell some people?
Yes.
I'm going to say it again. Not everybody was raised like you. Not everybody dresses like you. Not everybody listens to the same things that you listen to.
That's right.
But that doesn't degrade them and put a place where they're nothing like me. They'll never be anything like me. Come on, we're people of God. Come on, we're people of God. Let's be men and women of God. All right, here's number three. So number one, try not reacting. Number two, let's start finding good. Number three, exercise grace. Grace is not getting or getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. The Bible says this, that His grace is sufficient for us. Aren't you thankful for that? The Bible says He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I want to read this scripture to you. It speaks of itself, but in Romans chapter 12, in verse 19, talking about exercising grace, if you go ahead and put it on the screen, it says, never take your own revenge. Never take your own revenge. If you want to protect the integrity of you, you need to remember this. Never take your own revenge. Like, I know they said that. And I know you want to vindicate yourself. But it says, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Meaning this, you don't have to do anything. Because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I knew I wouldn't get many amens. Vengeance is mine. This is God speaking. I will repay, says the Lord. But look at verse 20, talking about exercising grace. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Invite him to the table. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Verse 21, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Come on, we live in a world, the Bible tells us this, that in the last days, good would be called evil and evil would be called good. Can I even see it in the body of Christ with believers? That we're falling off into a trap, getting involved in things, living as the world lives. We don't overcome evil by being good. What's it say? We don't overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's the last thing. So number three is exercise grace. Number four is the only way you can exercise grace is if you do number four, remember the grace that's been given to you.
That's right. Amen.
I think this would help some people out. If you've invited a fence and all his little friends to come sit at your table, you just need to remember what God has done for you.
Yes. Exactly right. Amen.
I'm going to say it one more time. If you've invited offense in all of his friends of bitterness, anger, resentment, envy, unforgiveness to come sit at your table and he's sitting around your table, then you need to remember what grace has been given to you. The Bible tells us this in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. Let's read it together. It says, the one who does not love does not know God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Verse 9, I'm going to ask the band to come. I'm coming to a close. By this, the love of God was revealed in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him. Verse 10, gets better. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. How can we exercise grace if we forget about the grace that's been given us? How many of y'all thankful for the grace of God that's on your life? I know I am. That's my whole point. You can't exercise grace unless you remember the grace that God's been given you. So as I come to a close, I just want to say this. You have a decision to make. You have a decision to make. I know it was rough. I know it hurt. I know it's somebody that you trusted. But you've had somebody sitting at the table of your heart for way too long. And you're wondering why. There may be in a crossroads right now inside of your life. There's some things that's been shook up in some relationships that you have. There's some hard places. And you might think it's the other person's fault, when in all reality, you can't point the finger at somebody else. You've invited somebody, that offense, to come sit at your table. And it may have been decades ago, but the thing that happened 10 years ago, he is now, offense is still sitting at the table with bitterness, envy, anger. And now you're sitting at the table with your wife, your husband, your kids, the ones that you love. And you're wondering why things are falling apart. You're wondering why there's all kinds of hate. There's all kinds of animosity. It may not be them. It's what they see in you. Because you don't just get one, you get them all. You don't get just one, you get them all. And I realize, I know there's some things that have happened that have hurt you. There's things that shouldn't have happened. But I'm just here to tell you this morning, you can be like Esau and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shake that yoke off of my neck. You know what the rest of the story says? Years down the road, when he decided to do this, he found his brother in the road. What'd he do? He embraced him. Show me the kids that God has given you, how you've been blessed. So I want to ask the question this morning. Are you done rehearsing it? I hope so. If you'd allow your kids to answer the question, they would say, Mom, I hope you are. They may not even know what it's about. They say, Mom, I hope you are. Dad, I hope you are. I hope so. Your friend would tell you, man, you've got to let it go. Stop living trapped because of someone else. Stop living trapped because of someone else. There's one last tool that I want to give you this morning, and it's this. When I have the opportunity for that offense to come sit at the table of my heart, this is something I do. I pray for him. Some of y'all is like, yeah, I'll pray for him. I pray that their boat sinks out in the middle of Lake Meredith. Right? I pray somebody vandalizes their house. I heard one time a guy had resentment towards somebody. It's his own father-in-law. I heard him say this, God, I hope he dies. I remember sitting in the car like, oh my gosh, it grieved me so much. It's a man of God who sits in a pulpit every single week. I hope he dies. Listen, Here's the thing. When you have unforgiveness like that, what he's saying this, I've set you on fire. And what's going to happen is the person that you don't like, this is how unforgiveness works. You're setting that person on fire, hoping that they die, but you die of smoke inhalation. So I pray for him. And you know what I do? And it doesn't have to be super spiritual. Doesn't mean that you have to put an Israeli flag over your back and you get in the closet for 8 hours at a time and just lift them up to the Lord. Pray the prayer of Jabez over them. Lord, I pray that you increase their territory. I pray they get fat in Jesus' name. No, you don't do that. You do this. You just say, God bless them. That's it. You don't have to get super spiritual. God, I just pray you bless them. I pray you bless them. I pray you bless them. Because, Lord, I've realized this, that vengeance is yours. And when I get involved, it gets messy. And when I get my heart involved, it gets messy. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try my best. I'm going to do my best. Hopefully you got this in your heart today. I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to react. Amen. I'm not going to react. Today, when I leave here, can I tell you, you're going to have an opportunity when I say amen and church is over, you're going to have an opportunity to get offended by somebody in this church.
That's right.
You're going to have an opportunity to get offended in the parking lot. You're going to have an opportunity to get offended when you drive at the restaurant, wherever you go. You'll have an opportunity to get offended. The opportunity is there, but I'm not going to react. I'm going to listen. Not to react, I'm going to listen to not to respond, I'm going to listen to understand. God, I pray that I grow up, that I go from faith to faith, that I go from glory to glory, that I see things from a heavenly perspective and not an earthly perspective. I'm going to try not to react. I'm going to see the good today. I'm going to see the good. I'm going to find the good. I'm going to find the good in my spouse. I'm going to find the good in my kid. I'm going to find the good in my neighbor. I told you guys last week, my neighbor and me, we believe totally different. But you know what I do? I find the good. That little bitty patch of green that you have in your dead yard, it looks so good. See, that's me being sarcastic. Lord, forgive me. I'm going to find the good. I'm going to find the good. I'm going to exercise grace because God has given me grace. I'm going to exercise grace because God has given me grace. And can I tell you right now, I don't want you to think that, Pastor, you just think forgiveness is a piece of cake. No, it's not. It's a journey. And just because you forgive, I'll tell you right now, you never forget. You'll always remember. But it doesn't mean that you have to be in prison. It doesn't mean that you have to be locked up. And some of y'all, it might be the Lord. Like, Lord, why'd you allow this to happen? Come on, shake that yoke off of your neck today. Shake, when you decide to break free, you will shake that yoke off of your neck when you decide. Dr. Phil can't decide it for you. Oprah Winfrey can't decide it for you. Your psychiatrist can't decide it for you. The Holy Spirit can't even decide it for you. You've got to decide it for yourself. I don't care what kind of power is in the room. If you don't decide, it'll never happen.
That's right.
But when you decide to break that yoke off of your neck, you will be set free. Come on, stand your feet this morning if you believe that. Do you guys get something out of the word this morning? I hope you have. So rather than inviting those guys to the table, I'm going to cast out the flesh, I'm going to call on the Spirit, and I'm going to invite love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and temperance. How many of y'all know the table of your heart needs fruits of the Spirit? Listen, I don't care how long, this is just who I am. You might say that, but that's not who God wants you to be.
Amen.
His way is bigger. How many of y'all know His thoughts are higher than our thoughts? His ways are higher than our ways. The Bible tells us this in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would come on those who know him. You know what's the best thing you can do? Is spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Invite him to the table of your heart. Invite him. He'd be that friend that will repel all those other ones. I mean, have you ever had that friend before? When you invite them, it just gets rid of everybody else at the table. That's what will happen. It'll repel offense when you get Jesus. When you invite him to the table of your heart, it will repel offense, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. I knew there'd be some quiet people in this room, but that's okay. Somebody needs to hear the word of the Lord today. Close your eyes, every head bowed and every eye closed. Who am I talking to? Raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. Amen. Amen. All over the room, there is hands raised. Keep your hand raised. God, in Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts, guarding our minds. We call upon you, King of kings, Lord of lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the author, and the finisher of our faith. I pray right now, every son, every daughter that has their hand raised in obedience, saying, God, this is me, this is my heart. I've invited them to come live and dwell inside of my home. But God, today I pray over every mom, I pray over every dad, I pray over every son, every daughter, every grandma, grandpa, every person under the sound of my voice that has their hand raised. God, I pray that right now, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, with their hand raised is an action inside of their heart that I am making a decision to shake this yoke off of my neck. So Lord, I pray for freedom in the room today. Freedom in the room today. God, I pray that they would have a reaction, Lord, to the obedience that they made of lifting their hands. God, I pray right now, Lord, that they would sense your presence, that they would sense a freeing. I pray the freedom, freedom, freedom come into this room in Jesus' name. Free their heart. Pray that they make a decision, God. Lord, may they know this, just because they walk in forgiveness doesn't mean that they have to invite them over for fried chicken. But that they, but God, I pray that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear, that they are now loosed from the enemy stepping on their neck. Set them free today, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us on our podcast today. We pray that you heard from God and that this message was for you. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people with this message. Arena of Life takes pride in connecting to God, to church, and to people. And we want to connect with you. So don't forget to check us out on all social media platforms, to check out our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and to download the Church Center app, and to choose Arena of Life as your church. And a special thanks to those who make a difference by giving generously. You help us change lives and produce weekly content like this that reaches the world. If you're interested in partnering with us, you can give by clicking the link in our bio, through the website arenaoflifechurch.org, or through the Church Center app. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll see you next week.